Welcome to episode 42 of the Family Podcast Network, where we hope we work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Topic for today is going to be preferential treatment. Are you, in fact, treating your kids unequally? Now, before you listen to this and go, no, I know I'm not. I love all my kids equally. Don't dismiss this right off the bat. Most people jump to the extreme, hardcore, oh, it must be when he says, like, you know, there's that one kid that you buy him everything and you treat him like, you know, the Cinderella story type thing. That's not what I'm talking about in this. You may, in fact, be showing preferential treatment for your kiddos, and you don't even know that. But we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Before we get into that, let's do the little bit of house cleaning real quick. Guys, consider liking me on Facebook and following me on Twitter. We've had a huge Twitter following turnaround this week. I mean, I have tripled the amount of followers on Twitter. Thank you, guys. Facebook as well. You guys have been awesome on Facebook. Thank you guys for liking the site. You know who you are. I appreciate you. I love watching that number go up. Makes me feel good. Guys, also consider becoming a PTAC member. PTAC stands for the Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. Just a fun way of saying becoming a supporting member of the show. If you feel like you're getting 20 cents an episode out of what we're doing here, consider becoming a member there. Guys, also consider contacting us. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or if you're just like, Trey, I'd like for this to be discussed on the topic, please get on there and hit contact us. Guys, also consider sharing Family Podcasts in the right sidebar. Also, you can sign up for the podcast, subscribe, put your name and email address in there, and you'll get updates. Anytime I send out any new material, you get it first, and you're going to be able to listen to it quicker. Also, guys, consider listening to FP on your mobile device through iTunes, Stitcher, and or Kindle. Been absolutely blown away by the amount of activity that is on Stitcher. Thank you to all my Stitcher folks. And now you can also subscribe on your Kindle Fire, etc., and other devices through my Kindle app. Those are all on the right sidebar. And then last, guys, consider connecting with FPN through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, or my RSS feed. Let's get into our topic for today. Topic for today is going to be preferential treatment. Again, are you, in fact, treating your kids unequally? I think people often dismiss even the inherent possibility that they're doing this because, again, they dramatize it into that far misconception of it is only about liking and being nice to one specific kid and not liking them, or having several that you like but that one that you shun. Again, that Cinderella type, you know, type treatment. I think people get this misconception that that is all that preferential treatment is. Wrong. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And guys, I fell into that until I started really studying and researching through families that I was working with in my profession, as well as watching my own kids and seeing how they were acting and reacting. And so we're going to talk a little bit about those misconceptions. We're going to go through, I think, five of them today. There may be more. So be aware that this may not be an exhaustive list, but these are definitely the top five that I see the most of. If you hear little short pauses that sound like long breaks, guys, anytime I'm doing these, I'm doing several episodes at a time, and I always keep a little bit of hot green tea with me, and so if you hear long breaks, I'm probably just taking a sip. So let's start it off. First, before we jump into this topic, I want to be real clear on something. Number one, I want to jump out right out of the gate and say this real quick. There may be certain things that may be easier for you to identify in each kid. So, for instance, there will be certain things that you will like in each kiddo. So, some examples being, number one, my daughter Anna, she's my 5-year-old. She is very much so my scientist. She is just like her daddy in that opinion, in that perspective. She just doesn't want to know what fog is. She wants to know why it happens. She doesn't want to just know that the sky is blue. She wants to know what creates that blue. She loves answers. So she's my little scientist. She's the one that likes to get on all fours with me. We look at bugs up close and we're like, wow, that's incredible. That's so cool. You know, she's that one that just likes to be active, involved in everything that we're doing, asking questions and learning why things happen the way they happen. Very much so like her daddy. My son. My son is my very emotional kiddo, and I mean that in the good and the negative way. So in the positive way, he's my one who's more compassionate and more thoughtful. He thinks, he likes to help. He's so quick to go run and help somebody out. If my littlest 2-year-old is crying or squawking, he likes to pick her up and help her out. Even at 2, you know, just even at 4 years old, he likes to do that for his 2-year-old, which is crazy. And I love that about him. And then there's my littlest daughter, Cora. She's my little snuggle bug. She likes to crawl up in my lap and curl up and snuggle and put her head on daddy's chest. All that crap that just melts daddy's hearts, right? She likes to do that. There's just each little bitty things about each one of them that I like different. And that's the beauty of it all, is that there is going to be certain things that you're going to like about each one. And there's going to be certain things that you can identify with. The extra impressive parent, to me, in my mindset, the extra impressive parent is the one that can learn how to find ways in each kid they can identify with, regardless of how different they are, regardless of how different they act, regardless of how different they dress. There's always that thing that you can connect on. The key to keeping it from being preferential treatment is this. You've got to find something in every single one of your kids that you can identify and connect with. That's the key right there, guys. You got to find something in all of the kids that you can identify with. So let's talk about the top five things that I see in preferential treatment. And be listening, guys. Remember, we all screw up with one of these. One of these, this whole topic was instigated by one that I realized I was doing a while back. And so I began doing some research and study on this and then put this show notes together for today's episode. So remember, we're all doing this, so be listening. What few or what all of these are you specifically doing that's an issue for you? So let's start out with number one. This is the most nefarious, the most criminal, the most, you know, the Cinderella story-like one. So, and it's more dramatic. So this is the one that is just plain out liking and treating one better. Guys, it happens more often than you think. I think we get this idea the Cinderella story is just exactly that, and it's just a story. But here's what I see a lot of. Number one thing that I'll see is that possibility is that one of the kiddo reminds them of an ex-spouse, especially right after major divorces. I'll see this pop up, right? And so all of a sudden, mom is having a hard time getting along with kid because, first off, kid's upset now that daddy's not living at home, and she just can't stand him because you remind me so much of your father. I see it a lot, guys. I see dads that can't stand daughters because you act just like your mom. Number one, that's a big major no-no. Never put down, if you're separated or divorced, never put down the spouse. I recommend don't do it at all. Even if they were jerk, turd, butt-faced pies and they deserve it. Sorry, that was my five-year-old terminology there. But I don't care how bad of a jerk they were. Never dog them. And I especially, if you're incapable, if you cannot find any amount of self-control within that human body of yours, and you're telling me that you were too weeny to hold that crap in, at least do not do it around your kid. It does not drive a wedge in between that kid and that other parent. It drives a wedge in between you and that kid. So never dog on them. So what'll happen is it reminds them of their ex-spouse, and so they'll begin to treat him, and you act just like your father, and they treat him. And a lot of that contempt and that anger towards that parent just gets just crapped on the kid. Let me be expressly and explicitly clear. That is not okay. All right? That is not okay. It will hurt your kids. It will psychologically screw them up. And it can take them a lot of time and effort, and sometimes money, depending on the therapist they go to get them better on that. It is not okay. Now, you may think that they are like your spouse. They may have similarities. They may have things that are kind of, you know, like what that other one does. But listen carefully. They are not your spouse. They are different beings. They are different people. They are different personalities. They are different alleles that have combined together to make a genetic combination of both you and that spouse. They are not your spouse. Are we clear on that? They are not your spouse. So the bottom line is, don't take your emotional doo-doo out on your kids after something like that. I don't care how much you think they look like them. They are not them. Don't dump that junk on them. Number two preference thing that I see. Gender preferences. This is just bottom line, having one gender that you like, or maybe that you identify with better, or that you just flat out prefer. Often, most of the time, what I have seen is that one gender has hurt a particular person, so they pick the opposite gender to be friends with. So if they had a really crappy, you know, if a son grows up and had a really crappy dad, he may say, well, I make, you know, better friends with girls. Or this is also the girl who just says, you know, I like guys better as friends because blah, 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 right? Often what has happened is, and I'm not saying in every case, guys, I'm not overgeneralizing here, but in a lot, if not many, if not maybe most cases that I've seen, they've gotten so hurt by one gender, they run to the other gender. And then what will happen is, as they get older, they'll do the same thing with their kids, right? Because you can't, at least not now, at least not that I'm aware of, you can't genetically decide, hey, I want a male, I want a female. And so until then, more than likely, you're going to get one of those genders that's hurt you. And I've seen parents that begin to, at least in some, even if it's just kind of an outlying way, they push their kiddos away because they are that gender. Again, this is not okay. To the folks who have the emotional stuff, I imagine that you have a really good reason at why you feel like you need to overgeneralize and say all men or all women are crap. You've probably been given good reasons by that by the people in your life. But listen to me when I tell you, men and women are beautiful creations. They are awesome. They both have amazing things that they can do, amazing things that they can be, and both genders are incredible. They need each other, and they are vital. So please do not tear down one gender in your mind. You say, well, Trey, I've been having all these good reasons. I imagine that you do, but if you have a kid who is that gender, they will. Remember, kids have crap dar. They will. They absolutely will pick up on you if you're doing that in any way. And they're going to realize that you have that level of treatment. So remember, just because you've had a crap experience doesn't mean you need to keep believing that or following that, because it can sincerely hurt your kids. Number three preferential treatment that I see. The whiny preferences. This is a nasty little devil. The whiny preferences is a nasty one. This is the one. This is the one preference where the one kid who whines the most wins. Whoever can right, you know, whichever kid can do that the best and the most to that certain way that just goes and hits that little dadgum amygdala in the middle of the brain and just it sets off that irrational parent. Believe me, I've been there. That's the whiny, right? That's that right, that whiny one. Parents will erroneously assume that if they just get on their kids, it's going to shut them up. Now, problem is, well, yeah, it does, Trey. Whenever I get onto my kid and I balk at them, they quit. That's probably true. The problem is, guess what? It's short term. I say that. Them stopping is short term. Them continuing to do it will be long term. And I have yet to find a case where it's not that way. Where when parents address the whining in some way, I have yet to find a case where it'll just stop. So, let's see. Or, second part of that is worse. So the whining preference is the one who whines the most wins. So then maybe they start whining. Maybe it's not that they yell at them to have them shut up. Or worse, maybe they cave during whining. Let me tell you guys, this is a cardinal sin of parenting. Never, ever, ever give in on whining. Why? Why is this such a problem? Kids learn that. When we give in, kids learn that whining works. And all I got to do is, and they learn if they can just throw some of that crap at us, they will give in eventually. That's all it takes. I mean, think about it. Who wouldn't do that? If I knew all I had to do was walk up to my wife and be like, oh, Corey, I want $100 to go spend at the Army Surplus, you know, and that would work, and that there was no other way to get her attention for that. If I knew that worked, who wouldn't do that? I mean, seriously. We whine as adults. Why do we whine as adults? Because in many cases, we found that it works. And kids are absolutely no difference. Guys, my advice, never pay attention to whining. Never pay attention to whining. I do not believe that you can ignore all poor behaviors. If a kid's running around in the middle of the street, you can't ignore that. If a kid's lining a butter knife up for an electric socket, you can't ignore that. But whining, you can. And if you starve any behavior and you stop feeding it, what happens? It gets malnourished and it dies. That's the way you get rid of your whining. Never pay attention to it. And number two, more important than that, notice your kids and praise your non-whiners. Your ones that are asking politely, make sure that they are getting a crap ton more attention from you than the one that's throwing the whining. As a matter of fact, I recommend no attention for the whining and only attention for the one who is whining. Make sure your motives are in the right place. Don't walk it off and make a big show. Oh, you're getting a piece of candy because you didn't whine like you did. No. This isn't about shaming the other kid. But what it is about is that noticing this one is not whining at all. They are being so polite and so courteous, and they're waiting, even with little old wham-wham butt over here, you know, throwing a big fit. And then praise them for that. Hey, good job. Not whining. I'm really proud of you for just asking me normally, just, Mom, can I have a blah? Dad, can I have this? Good job on that. So that's the whiny preferences. Number four, personality preferences. I separated this from the number one, just that that treating certain, you know, ones in a, liking certain ones and then not others. This one, I mean, it is not necessarily vindictive or hurtful or mean, but maybe there's just one personality that you like. In dads, I'll often see that they like their boys that are a little more aggressive in some cases, that are more the tough and the rough and tough, oh, strong boy, right? They like those. Moms will often like the ones that are the less, you know, less aggressive. Oh, it's my sweet boys, it's those sweet girls, you know, they like those. Nothing wrong with either one of those personalities, guys, but what I'll see is that they'll begin to preference one kid over the other. Maybe they like the one who's more dry-witted, or maybe they like the one who's more quiet, right? And so they'll often pick personality preferences that they like and then totally emphasize that. In a lot of cases, these parents that are doing this, it's not about a hatefulness or a hurtfulness. In most cases, it's just an issue of they don't know what to do with the other ones. They know how to approach the dry-witted kid. They know how to deal with the quiet kid. But they have no flipping idea how to handle the kid who is just bouncing off the wall, going crazy, berserk, nutsballs. And so they're like, man, I just give you the quiet kid, right? But every single one of your kids needs your attention. I'm sorry. If you've got a kid who is ricocheting off the walls, I'll tell you one of the best prescriptions, in my opinion, is attention. Give them lots of attention. Now, you got to be careful. Remember, this personality preference thing can go different ways. You know, this could even be that now all of a sudden the more energetic one gets all the attention because it's, stop it, quit, no, would you sit down? Oh my God, I'm going to beat you in the face. You know, and so it turns into a big deal. That's not what we're wanting either. Everybody needs balance in what you do, but just make sure you're not having a preference. And then last, this is my favorite one, guys. I saved this one at last for the last on purpose because it is probably the most prominent. It is the biggest one. And you know what? It's what prompted me to write this because it was happening in my family with me. And I think it's one. And then as I stopped and I started referring back to the families I've worked with, I thought, holy crap, this is what I've seen in most families. So the last preference is age preference. There's a lot of books out there that have been written on what's called birth order, and they have the idea that certain personalities are common depending on what the birth order is. And so, like, you know, one of the books might say that it's common for the oldest child, the firstborn, to be more of the strong, the leader, the gung-ho, gets lots of attention, excels in school, and this is just a generality. Not necessarily this way in all cases. Then you've got your middle child. Well, no, let's go to the baby child. You've got your baby who's the one who gets all the attention because they're baby and they're little and they get all the things and preferential treatment because of that. And then often the middle child is the one who will kind of get left out. He'll be left on the wayside, who doesn't get the attention, you know, because the oldest one gets all the attention for all their achievements and the youngest one gets all their attention because they're little, and then the middle one gets left out. And so that's kind of where the mentality of a lot of this came from. Key thing that I see in more families than I even care to admit to, baby gets away with everything. They can do whatever the heck they want in any way that they want. They get whatever they want. They treat people however they want. Oh, 'cause you're the baby. You know, they can yell and scream and hit and punch and be mean and jerk. Oh, you don't stop that. And then if the other one retaliates, a big brother finally clonks little brother on the head. Oh, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then they just rush in and they protect him. And this kid learns that I can do whatever the crap I want and get away with it. And mom and dad will come in, rescue and skate, you know, and save me and save my butt. This absolutely drives me nuts. And I want y'all to hear me say it again. This is not okay. It is not okay to show preferential treatment for kids just because they're little babies. There are fewer better ways that I know of to build relationships with your kids than just being flat out friggin' fair. Be fair with your kid. If your older kid wants privacy, don't let baby go run in their room. And then if they get to fussing about trying to get them out, say, no, just let them play in there. That is not fair. Be fair with your kids. I'm not saying that your older one gets to have privacy at all times and can't ever not be around the baby. I'm not saying that. But if your kid wants those things, let them have those things. And don't let the little baby get away with everything just because they're the baby. Babies need boundaries too. I'm telling you, babies need boundaries. And I'll get people to be like, Trey, but Trey, they're too young. You know, they're under this age and this, and they've shown that when they're underneath this age, they can't do that, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I say it doesn't matter. You teach them the vernacular. This is not okay, sweetie. Here is what is okay. Little babies need boundaries too. Now, I will concede that the consequences probably need to be different. So what you do with your older kiddos, you don't necessarily need to do with young kiddos. So when your young kiddos get into thing and they run into the, you know, older teenage, you know, brother's room and they're running around, they don't necessarily need to be taken out and bust their butt, or they don't need to be taken out and go put in the corner. But maybe they need to be taken out and distracted with something else. Give them something. Play with them. Distract them for a little bit. So the consequences probably need to be different, but they do need to have the same boundaries as every other person in the house. So we're going to wrap it up on this right here, guys. My bottom line to all of this is, if y'all can't tell, I'm a bottom line kind of guy. Bottom line to all of this is, be fair with your kids. Don't let itty bitties rule the roost. Don't let your oldest get first pick, or don't let your oldest get to have the front seat all the time if all your kids are old enough to get to sit up there. And I also recommend, pay attention to your straggler. Wait, Trey, we haven't talked about straggler in this. That straggler is that kid who doesn't get nearly as much attention. You know, we talked about older child and the baby and then the middle being the straggler. Maybe it's that your older kid is the straggler. Maybe the middle kid is a whiz-bang genius at school, and the young one is the baby. And so the older kid, who is just pretty average, gets a lot less attention. Watch out for your stragglers and make sure that they are getting the attention that they need too. Especially if maybe you've got two kids that have dominant personalities. My littlest one is the baby. She's very loud and gumptious. My middle child can be very loud and gumptious. And sometimes I've noticed that my oldest will get left out on the wayside. And then I'll see it flip around. The baby will all get a lot of attention. And then all of a sudden Anna is answering a lot of science questions with me. And my son Grant, who just wants me to look at his car, he's getting left on the wayside. So make sure you watch out for your stragglers. Well, guys, that is all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network. Guys, consider sharing this episode on Facebook and Twitter. I'd also love to see some comments put out there if you guys have the opportunity to do that. Guys, remember, it is all about the relationships with your kids and even the fairness in those. That is a part of relationship as well. So consider that as you're doing this. Take a look at these five principles of preferential treatment and see what are you doing and what can you work on. We've all got them. Me too. We need to be watching these and paying attention to these. Guys, I want to say thank you for joining us for this episode of Family Podcast Network. We help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a good day, and we'll see you guys on Tuesday with our next episode.